lotus feet of the Supreme Lord Vishnu. Oh, they were very much disturbed. They picked up a stick. Srila Prabhupada explains there's four ways of trying that in political circles that we try to discipline somebody. What are they? First, you make legislation. You make some law against them. You issue some legal threat to them. What is the second? That's the third. First is you file an order against them. Create fear. Then you start attacking them in so many other ways. And if that doesn't work, then you offer them a very lucrative, profitable post in which you control them. And if even that doesn't work, weapons to attack them. Hare Krishna. So they picked up stick, put it before Prahlad, and said, Prahlad, although you are born in the family of the greatest of the demons, Hiranyakashipu, you have become his enemy due to associating with his enemy. He said, just like in a beautiful forest of sandalwood trees, a thorn tree grows. That wood from the thorn tree is made into the handle of an axe to cut down the whole forest of sandalwood trees. You are that wooden handle, and Vishnu is the metal axe. If you are not changed, you will be the destruction of this wonderful, wonderful dynasty. We will never allow this to happen. Now you listen to every word we speak and surrender. They taught Prahlad day after day, week after week, month after month. And Prahlad very respectfully honored them. And they considered, now Prahlad is first class. Prahlad's mother decorated him with very opulent cloth, ornaments, and presented him to the father in the presence of Shanda and Amarka. Prahlad bowed down to his father and stood with folded hands. Ah, Hiranyakashipu was so happy to see this. He picked up Prahlad and put him on his lap. Smelled his head. He smelled little Prahlad's head and was so overcome with parental affection that tears were flowing from his eyes and his limbs were trembling. He embraced his son again and again and spoke, "Dear son, please repeat to me, what is the best knowledge?" Prahlad, sitting on his lap with folded hands, eyes looking at his father's demoniac face, glazed with love, he spoke, Sravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam Padasevanam Archanam Bandhanam Dasyam Sakyam Atma Nivedanam. My dear father, by following these nine processes of devotional service, beginning with hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord, always remembering the Lord, worshiping the Lord, offering prayers to the Lord, becoming the servant of the Lord, personally rendering service to the lotus feet of the Lord, surrendering everything to the Lord, I have found that one who perfects their lives by pleasing Krishna through these nine processes of devotional service is really a man of great knowledge and learned in the truth. Hiranyakashipu exploded. This was too much for him. He screamed at Sanda and Amarka, "What have you done to my son? What have you taught him?" In the guise of my allies, you have become traitors. You have become the instruments of my enemy. Sanda and Amarka were trembling in fear. They said, "No, we never taught him any of this. We don't know where he learned any of this. We don't know anything what he learned. We're only teaching him what we know." Then Hiranyakashipu was even more angry. He was the personification of anger, and he directed every bit of it toward little Prahlad, who stood there fearlessly. Hiranyakashipu screamed at Prahlad, "If you did not learn this from your teachers, where did you learn it from?" Prahlad Maharaj replied, "Matir Nakrishne, Matir Nakrishne Paratasvatova, Mito Bibedyeta Grihavratanam, Adanda Gobira Vishatam Tamishram Puna Punash Charvata Charvananam." "My dear father, because of their uncontrolled senses, persons too attached to materialistic life make progress toward hellish conditions and repeatedly chew that which has already been chewed. Their inclinations toward Krishna are never aroused, either by their own endeavors, by the instructions of others, or by any other means. As long as you do not control your mind and senses, my father, you'll never understand Krishna." Hiranyakashipu was boiling over like a volcano just erupting. And Prahlad continued, "Nate vidusvarata katim hi Vishnu durasya ye Bahir Arthamanina Andayatandar Upaniyamanam Tepi Satantriyam Urudam Nibhata." "My father, persons who are strongly entrapped by the consciousness of enjoying material life and who have therefore accepted as a leader or guru another person too addicted to sense gratification, it is like a blind man leading another blind man. They both fall into the ditch and suffer. They're bound by the ropes of fruitive activities, and they continue suffering in their materialistic existence again and again." Hiranyakashipu was boiling over even more, but he was silent. Prahlad was watching him go through these transformations. And with folded palms, he fearlessly concluded, "Naisham matish tavarurukramangrin sprishat yanartha pagamoyadartha mahiya sampadara jobishekam niskinchina natmena vritti yavat." "My father, there's a solution though. Unless they smear upon their bodies the dust of the lotus feet of a Vaishnav who is completely freed from material contamination, persons very much inclined toward materialistic life cannot be attached to the lotus feet of the Lord who is glorified for his activities. Only by becoming Krishna conscious and taking shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, in this way one can be freed from material contamination. Prahlad Maharaj ki jai." But in the court of Hiranyakashipu, nobody said jai. Hiranyakashipu was blinded with anger. He screamed out, "You are the killer of my brother! Kill him!" Then he gave his philosophical justification to everyone who was present. Just as the limb of a body is very, very precious to the body, but if the limb has a horrible malignant disease, if you don't cut it off, it will kill the rest of the body. Or just like uncontrolled senses will kill the spiritual practices of a yogi. They are enemies. They must be killed. The enemy must be killed, even if he is a member of one's own family, even if he is a small child. Kill him. The associates of Hiranyakashipu, under his direction, made their goal in life to kill 5-year-old little Prahlad. They took sharp tridents, which defeated the demigods, caused them to flee from their planets. They continuously pierced the body of Prahlad with these tridents, with evil, evil words crying out, "Pierce him, chop him, kill him." And Prahlad just stood, remembering the Lord, remembering the name of the Lord, the beautiful form of the Lord, and the love of the Lord, meditating on the beautiful pastimes of the Lord. That was Prahlad. Therefore, by the mercy of the Lord, the trident could not cause the slightest harm to Prahlad's body. They threw him under the feet of mad trampling elephants. But the elephant could not harm him, even the slightest. They threw him and held him down on the bottom of the ocean. They create a blazing, blazing fire. And Hiranyakashipu's sister, Holika, can you imagine being the sister of Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu? It's quite a family. She was very powerful, and she had a benediction that she could not be burned by fire. So Hiranyakashipu was utilizing every resource he had. She took little Prahlad and brought him right into the center of this mass blazing fire and just held him there on her lap. And Prahlad didn't even try to escape. He was just affectionately submissive on the lap of his auntie. The fire blazed and blazed and blazed and blazed. And they're in the middle of it, not next to it, in the middle of it. For hours and hours and hours, and finally it was just too much. Holika burned. And Prahlad comes walking out. Further infuriating Hiranyakashipu. Now, not only is the killer of my brother, he's the killer of my sister too. They took him to the top of a mountain. And big mountain. And in Satya Yuga, the mountains were bigger than today. Can you imagine a Satya Yuga mountain? They found the highest mountain and threw him off. But Krishna protected him. An entire pit of venomous snakes, they threw him in there. But none of the snakes could harm our little Prahlad. They took gigantic boulders of stones and they just dropped them on top of him. Stones that were hundreds, thousands of tons, that many, many, many big, powerful rakshasas were, with all their might, they were pushing, 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 and it fell on this little boy. But nothing could faze him. Prahlad had no fear. He had no anxiety. He was remembering Krishna. He was surrendered to Krishna. Krishna, if you want to kill me, I'm your servant. If you want to protect me, I'm your servant. Ma, what is it? Ma rovira ko bijo icha tohar. I am Krishna. You can kill me if you like. You can protect me if you like. Doesn't matter. I am your servant unconditionally. That was the mood of Prahlad. Bajahure mana Sri Nanda Nandana Avaya Charana Ravindare. We pray to our mind, please take shelter of the lotus feet of Nanda Nandana. Because only in that state can you be fearless. As long as there's fear, you have to suffer. There can be no real happiness. There could be no real pleasure in this world as long as there's fear. Prahlad was fearless because he had total faith. He wasn't attached to living. He wasn't attached to dying. He was only attached to Krishna. They fed him deadly poison. They started putting mystical spells on him, getting all kinds of sorcerers and mystic yogis and tantrics and everything to put spells on him, to make him mad, to destroy him internally and externally. They tried to starve him. They put him in a place where there was no food or water. Day after day after day, a five-year-old boy. They subject him to days and days and days of freezing ice cold or scorching heat. And Prahlad was smiling through it all. He was indifferent. Hiranyakashipu was going insane with fear. The difference. Prahlad is fearless. He's a little five-year-old boy. Hiranyakashipu is the king of the universe with all mystic powers. And he's fearful. Although he had such unlimited power, he was so morose. He just sat silently with his head shrunk down, lamenting. He was thinking, because my son has such power and I've offended him in so many ways, I will be killed. Or maybe not. I can't control him. I can't destroy him. Therefore, I fear him. He was sunk in an ocean of lamentation. Chandanamarka saw their master in this state and said, why are you taking it so seriously? He's only a child. He's only doing these childhood things. When he grows up, he'll change. He'll be a good son. Just give him some time. Yes? Sometimes we see in Krishna consciousness when children are little, they really like bhakti. They dance and they chant and they bow down and they love everything about Krishna consciousness. But then they grow up. Something happens. You know, something called puberty that was created by Maya Devi under Krishna's jurisdiction. And then it's very hard. Previously, they loved to bow down. I know children who, when they're little kids, their parents are sleeping. It's Mangalarti time. Come, bring me to Mangalarti. Come. Why? And they're crying. I want to go to Mangalarti. All right, I'll take you to Mangalarti. And a few years later, the parents are saying, why do you sleep all day? Come to Mangalarti. The parents are saying, I want you to come to Mangalarti. So, just leave me alone. I have other things to do. Very difficult. So most children, they're naturally Krishna conscious when they're really young, but when they start growing older, sometimes they change. But if the parents are good examples, usually they go through their phase of exploring material nature and they suffer a bit and then they come back. And they surrender very nicely. But if the parents are not good examples, they may not come back in this lifetime. So it is a great responsibility for all parents to be a good example. Not only in word, but in deed. So they were using this philosophy. That he's this pseudo-Vaishnav now. But that's because he's just a restless child, he's playful and all this other stuff. But just let him grow up. He'll be a good demon. And we'll train him. He'll come back to our school. We guarantee you'll be very satisfied with our product. So they pacify Hiranyakashipu. And he goes back to the school. And again, weeks are going by and Prahlad is just so respectful. He appeared to be learning the subject so well. But one day, Srila Prabhupada explains that Shandanamarka went home to take their tiffin. I'm sure it wasn't prasad either. And while Prahlad was, he didn't disturb anyone. He was just so kind. But the classmates, they loved him, naturally, because he was just so gracious to everyone. They said, Prahlad, come join us. We're playing. Come. We're going to do nice play. Come and join us, Prahlad. Why don't you want to come and play with us? And Prahlad entered into their midst. And he told them, why are you spoiling your life with all this sense gratification? 5-year-old children. Komara acharet pragyo dharman bhagavataniha durlabam manasanjanma tat apyatrupam artadam. The children may ask, Prahlad, you're only 5 years old and that's all we are. You know, some when we get older, we can think about all these high topics. Now is the time just to study and play. Prahlad Maharaj said, one who is sufficiently intelligent should use the human body from the very beginning of life to practice devotional service. Giving up all other engagements, the human body is rarely achieved, and although temporary, it is meaningful because one can perform devotional service. Even a slight amount of sincere devotional service can give one complete perfection. He continued speaking how the pursuit of sense gratification is such a tragic waste of this human form of life. Every moment is so precious. Sixth chapter, there's a beautiful verse from the Vishnu Purana. Sahanis tan mahachidram, so mahachachavibram. That even a moment wasted in human form of life in forgetfulness of Vishnu is the most horrible tragedy that can ever take place. To lose a moment by not remembering Lord Vishnu. Prahlad Maharaj said, why should you strive and put so much of your time and energy to be happy in this material world? Because according to karmic destiny, you're going to get your happiness or distress anyway. You endeavor for happiness. But even though you don't endeavor for misery, it comes anyway. So similarly, without any endeavor, happiness is going to come and misery is going to come. So why endeavor at all? Why not utilize this human form of life to cultivate Krishna consciousness? in a life, at the most, we live 100 years. And how this 100 years is wasted by a materialistic person. First thing, a person sleeps practically half the day. In this way, 50 years of life is wasted sleeping in total ignorance, not making any progress anywhere. And then one's a little baby child, 10 years are wasted just being bewildered, just not knowing who we are, and then playing with toys, and then trying to somehow or other figure out who I am and who everybody else is and what the world is. Then all kinds of games and playthings. Another 10 years are wasted. And then, the next 10 years in studies. Just studying with all kinds of aspirations for what we'll achieve in the future. Another 10 years without bhakti. And in old age, the last 20 years of life, you're practically an invalid. Your mind is not working right. Your intelligence is not working right. Your body's not working right. Again, 20 more years are wasted. And the 20 years that are most productive, usually a person gets married. And in that, his mind and senses become uncontrolled. Becomes attached to family, becomes attached to lust, becomes attached to illusion. Such a person, in his mind are always pictures of all his family members. And Prahlad Maharaj explains, when the wife takes the husband into a solitary place, his mind becomes completely enraptured by that. And then the little children, they speak broken words that don't really make sense. And that further enraptures the mind of the family man. And then he's always worried about the welfare of his parents. He needs to get his son married. And usually his son's naughty. That enraptures the son, the father. What to speak of a daughter? Prahlad Maharaj is speaking. The daughter is so much an attachment to the father. Even after she's married and living in another house, he's always in anxiety, worried about whether she's happy and safe and protected and whether they're treating her nicely. And such a householder, in order to maintain it all, is always hungry for money. For such a materialistic householder, Prahlad Maharaj said in his eloquent poetry, money is the honey. It is very sweet. Such a materialistic family person has no reservations to waste all the valuable facilities and time of the human form of life, but such a person will be excruciatingly conscious not to waste a single farthing of money. And through the process, they suffer a distaste for material suffering, but they can't escape it. And they become a plaything in the hands of Maya. Prahlad tells his friend, keep away from such people. Take shelter of the Vaishnavas, the devotees of the Lord, who will help you to take shelter of the Lord. And with good association, if you are sincere, by the Lord's mercy, there will be no impediments for your spiritual progress. He said, the Vedas deal very much with artha, dhamma, and kama. with sense economic development, religiosity, and sense gratification. But Prahlad Maharaj said, I have studied this, and I have found it is all external. It is all temporary. You should focus all your energy on the real goal of life, Natevadu Swarthakatim Hevishnu, on devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Surrender to Krishna is the only thing that is transcendental and can bring real happiness. Prahlad said, I have learned this knowledge which Krishna spoke to Narada Muni, and Narada Muni, my Guru Maharaj, enlightened me. The children asked, how did you speak to Narada Muni? Where did you get this knowledge from? How is it possible? We never learned any of this. We never see Vaishnavas. We're in the same school as you. And after school, we have some independence. But after school, you go right to the palace of Hiranyakashipu. You're only 5 years old. Where did you meet Narada Muni? Prahlad explained, when my father went to the Mandara mountain to perform his tapasya, while he was gone, the demigods took advantage, conquered all the asuras. The asuras had to flee in all directions. They marched into Hiranyakashipu's palace and plundered it all, took over everything. And there they found my mother, Kayadu. They kidnapped her. As they were taking her away, she was crying in great fear. Narada Muni appeared. He said, why are you taking this woman? She is a chaste woman. She has done nothing to harm anyone. She's a woman of good quality. Why are you taking her and causing her such severe distress? Indra said, it is not the woman. We have no harm, we have no danger from her. But the child in her womb is born of the seed of Hiranyakashipu. We will keep this woman in our custody. When the child is born, we will kill him. Then we will release her. Narada Muni said, the child in her womb is a perfect self-controlled devotee. He is a Mahabhagavat, a pure soul. Prabhupada explains, the demigods had such trust in the words of Narada Muni that they offered obeisances to the child in the womb and circumambulated the mother several times and released her. Prahlad said, Narada Muni took my mother to his own hermitage in the forest in a very, very secluded place and instructed her in the science of Bhagavad Dharma. I heard every word from the womb of my mother. When Hiranyakashipu returned, Narada Muni returned my mother to my father's palace. Due to the association with my father over the years, my mother forgot everything. But I have never forgotten the treasured words of my spiritual master. He told his friends, just like a geologist knows exactly how to find gold. Similarly, a devotee always searches and finds the Paramatma in everyone's heart. Does not identify anyone on the basis of bodily designations. Because everyone is a child of God. Vidyavanaya sampane brahmani kavihastini suni chaiva sopakicha pandita samadarshana. The same truth is spoken by Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. A learned man or woman who sees the truth, they can witness the Supreme Lord in the heart of everyone and therefore is equal toward everyone, whether one is a Brahmin or whether one is a elephant or a dog or a dog eater. Equal vision is to see the spiritual quality in every living being. Srila Prabhupada in this regard explained, on the material level, there is no such thing as equality. There have been so many political movements trying to create equality. Just like in the United States, was it the Constitution? All men are created equal. There's never been two men in the history of the universe created equal. Everyone has their own unique distinctions. Some are intelligent, some are not intelligent. Some are good workers, some are not good workers. Women have their strengths, men have different strengths. The modes of material nature, there's unlimited mixtures that create such amazing variegatedness. The variegatedness of all living beings is what's so beautiful about creation. But everyone is equal because on the spiritual level, which is the only truth about our identity, we are all part of God. We are individual but uniquely equal in all regards. So the only possibility of having realistic sense of equality is to have spiritual vision. Then caste, race, sex, nationality, color of the skin, rich, poor, all of these other things, they are all just superficial differences which really are not very important if you see the soul within the heart. Then you will be the compassionate, loving, well-wisher of every living being. That is real equality. Prahlad Maharaj is explaining this to his friends, that a geologist, he sees gold, and in the same way, a devotee knows how to find the Paramatma in every living being's heart. He explains there's three states of consciousness. There's the waking state, there's the deep sleep state, and there's the dreaming state. In all these three states of consciousness, the soul is experiencing the illusions of this world. But it is your duty, my friends, to understand the real nature of the soul and its relationship with the Supreme Soul, the Paramatma. And I will tell you how to do that, Prahlad said. First, you must accept a guru, a spiritual master in disciplic succession, who is living by these principles, who can impart knowledge, and who can access the mercy of God and engage you in the process of devotional service. You should associate with saintly persons, and in that company, worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He said, always remember the Lord within everyone's heart. And through this process of hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord, respect everyone. If you see the Paramatma in everyone's heart, or even if you theoretically understand the Paramatma is in everyone's heart, we will be impelled to respect every living being. Amanina Manadena. In this process, we can please the Lord when we hear about Him and chant His names. And through the process, we will cut down the six enemies of lust, envy, anger, pride, greed, and illusion. The children were so attracted by Prahlad, they accepted every word he spoke. They all became Vaishnavas, immersed in hearing and chanting of the Supreme Lord, controlling their senses, completely disgusted disgusted with this concept of friends and enemies. Shandana Marka started seeing that everyone in their whole school were devotees. They were all devotees. Shandana Marka would step out for a few minutes. The students, you know, they were just like Prahlad. They were respectful, appearing just like the studies. But as soon as they go out, the children would start talking about Krishna. Prahlad Maharaj taught them. Soon they had tears in their eyes. Their hairs were standing on end. Their limbs were trembling. They were dancing in ecstasy as they chanted the holy names. Sanda and Amarka, furious. They grabbed Prahlad and just took him right before his father and explained exactly what his son had done to the school. Hiranyakashipu, anger overcame him. He hissed like a snake that was just trampled on by someone's foot. Did you ever trample on a deadly cobra with your foot? Multiply by that by 100 million times, and that's what Prahlad was facing in Hiranyakashipu. Meanwhile, Prahlad was very peacefully, with folded hands, offering his respectful obeisances to his father. His father screamed, "You impudent, lowest amongst mankind! You rascal! You fool! You violated my power!" "You violated my power to rule over you. Therefore, you must be destroyed." He was so angry, his entire body was shaking and trembling. His eyes were red. His hairs was practically standing on end in rage. Now, we have read that when he was angry with even Indra, they would run away and surrender and do whatever he said. Now, all of his anger, more than ever before in his entire life, he was venting anger on Prahlad. Can you imagine how he was staring at Prahlad? And Prahlad was just looking right into his eyes with a little smile, folded hands, totally peaceful, offering him respects. Prahlad Maharaj ki. "You have violated my power to rule over you. By whose power does a rascal like you overstep my power to rule you?" Prahlad Maharaj answered, "My dear father, I receive my power from the same person that you receive your power from. Dear father, you are calling me your enemy, and you are saying Vishnu is your enemy. Your only enemy is your uncontrolled mind. When you seek to see everyone as equal, then only can you worship Lord Vishnu perfectly." Hiranyakashipu, he screamed out, "You rascal! You think yourself to be superior to me? You think you can instruct me? You talk like one who is about to die. You speak about this Lord who is everywhere, who is all-pervading, who is the source of all power. Where is he, Prahlad? Where is he? Is he in this pillar? Prahlad said, yes. He is everywhere, my father. Hiranyakashipu jumped up from his throne, drew his sword, and screamed out, now I will sever your head. Now I will kill you. Let me see how your God will protect you. With his fist, he smashed the pillar. From the pillar, shaking, trembling, and a shrilling sound that no one in creation had ever heard. Then, just to prove the words of Prahlad to be true, that his Lord was in the pillar burst open, and born from that pillar was a form that was neither man nor lion. And he roared. He roared in such a way that created trembling in the entire planet Earth, in the entire universe. Hiranyakashipu tried to trace out the source of this sound. And he saw a wonderful form. Half man, half lion, standing before him. Hiranyakashipu studied this form very carefully. And what did he see? Angry eyes in the form of the Lord that were the color of molten gold. His mane was shining and expanding in all directions, even scattering the clouds. His face fearful. His deadly teeth pointed like daggers. Razor-sharp sword moving about like a dueling sword. His razor-sharp tongue moving about like a dueling sword. His ears were erect and motionless. His nostrils and his gaping mouth were like the caves of mountains. His body touched the sky. His neck was short and thick, chest broad, waist thin. His body hairs were white as the moonshine. His arms were like flanks of soldiers, each one carrying a different weapon. Hiranyakashipu thought to himself, Vishnu has come to kill me. But what is the use? No one could stand before me in battle. Now let us analyze this psychology of Hiranyakashipu. In the presence of Narasimhadev, Hiranyakashipu was like a little wasp. The roar, the anger, the size of the Lord was unlimited. But this is how the anartas, or the enemies within, can steal away a person's intelligence. Krishna says in Gita, Indriyanam hi charatam yan mano navadiyate tarasya harati pragya vayonar ivamvasi. As a boat on the water is swept away by a strong wind, even one of the senses in which the mind focuses can carry away a man's intelligence. If you allow yourself to succumb to the dictations of lust, can bewilder your intelligence. Yatato hyabhikantaya purushasya vipashtyata indriyani pramatini haranti prashamamana. The senses are so strong and impetuous, O Arjuna, that they can carry away the discrimination even of a wise man who's trying to control them. We have seen throughout history how lust has just covered a person's intelligence to do things they know are wrong, and it ruins their entire life. Anger. Kama esha krodha esha rajoguna shamudbhava mahashano mahapapma vidyenami havairanam. It is lust only, Krishna says, that is the deadly sinful enemy of this world. And when lust is unfulfilled, krodha, anger. And we have seen within the world, history, and perhaps in our own lives or the lives of our loved ones, how if we allow ourselves by our own free will to be overcome by anger, it could cause us to say things and do things that we can regret for the rest of our lives. In fact, one mistake under the influence of anger could cause your death, could cause the death of others, could destroy everything you've worked so hard for. Lust, anger, envy. How envy can dictate upon a person to engage in such horrible, abominable words and activities that can destroy your whole life. Cover our intelligence. For a devotee, we know we shouldn't be doing these things. But if we're not very, very careful, Srila Prabhupada said, the problem with Western devotees, and in my opinion, living in Bombay, it applies equally to Indians, because you're all so westernized. So the problem with you people is you're not sufficiently afraid of Maya. We don't understand the power of Maya, how if we give in, she will corrupt us. You just give an inch and she'll take your whole life. She's the proprietor of greed. How greed can corrupt a person's life. How greed can destroy families. How greed can destroy everything. Because we lose our own intelligence. We lose the values that are so sacred. Maya is really greedy. She's like the supreme capitalist of this world. Can I give an example? Just like there are so many court cases here in India of countries like Germany or Japan. They come in with a product and they undersell lower price than all the companies making it in India. And they take a loss. They're happy to take a loss because they're looking to the future. Some of our own devotees are battling it in the courts with these people for this very purpose. They come in, they're in a foreign country, they're producing in huge volumes, and they're selling it and taking a loss so that they can pit all the Indian businesses out. Everybody buys their product because it's so cheap. Then the whole industry amongst the Indians is bankrupt, finished. And then what? They raise the prices higher than ever, and you have nowhere else to go. Haribo. That's what they do. That is business in Kali Yuga. Well, Maya, she's giving them their intelligence. She's the reservoir of all that intelligence. And that's how she's going to get you. She's going to give you from some free samples. Take it, take it, take it. I'm not greedy. I'm giving. Take this. Very nice enjoyment. Very nice facility. Don't don't worry. You're a devotee. I know you're a devotee, but don't be a fanatic. Don't be an extremist. Be balanced. Enjoy. I'll give it to you for free. And you'll see. She'll even inspire you to chant your rounds better after she gives you some sense gratification. She'll do that. Just like a fisherman. A fisherman is patient. Puts the bait on the hook. The fish doesn't see the hook, only sees the bait. And he eats it. Okay, it's in the mouth. If the fisherman just... What happens? Listen. I've heard it. It just comes right out. The fisherman comes up, the hook's there, but the bait's gone. Waste of time. No, a good fisherman makes the fish think he can enjoy it. Very patient. The fish just keeps eating. And other fishes are going, they're around saying, hey, you know, there's a hook in there. Don't eat it. Spit it out. Get it out. You know, you're in Maya. Sensk matirna krishne paratashvatova. You'll never attain Krishna if you just keep eating this bait. Puna puna charvata charvananam. We've already eaten this in so many lifetimes. Spit it out. Say, what? You're saying that? But I'm eating it. Nothing's happening. Everything's fine. I'm enjoying. You're not enjoying. I'm enjoying better than you because you're so renounced. But I'm just as happy, just as more happy than you, and I'm just as safe as you. There's no difference. The only difference between you and me is I'm enjoying and you're not. Yes? And Maya say, yes, he understands very nicely. And she doesn't pull the line in. She actually lets it go out. So the fish is even going the other direction and thinking, yeah, see, I'm free. I'm free. And while he's going the other way, he swallows it. Goes into his throat. Into his stomach. Deeper into his stomach. Starts getting digested. Goes into his intestines. Now, just like Narasingadev was very attached to those intestines of Hiranyakashipu. So the fisherman also, he's like the Narasingadev in the Maya form. When it gets down there and the hook is, there's no way that that hook is ever going to come out. You're hooked. You've heard the saying, you're hooked. Then the fisherman goes, and the fish helpless. That's how Maya works. Yes, we hear the philosophy. Just like I've heard from devotees that, you know, a little LSD or a little marijuana or a little tea or coffee helps me chant my rounds better. And from my experience, they're not just saying that as a justification. They actually feel that. What does that mean? That means that Maya Devi, she's actually empowering you to chant even better so that you just become more faithful in her. And you become more negligent of the teachings of Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. You enjoy. And even you find, you know, I'm deviating, but I'm even becoming a better preacher. And more people are being influenced by me. So, this is very good. But at a certain point, Maya's greedy. She's the supreme capitalist of this world. She'll give you the free samples. She'll get you addicted to those free samples. She'll make you think you're making spiritual advancement despite these. And then when you are completely under her control, she knows, then she takes you right out of the ocean of devotional service and puts you in her net. So yes, any of these anarthas have the power to overcome us. Look at Hiranyakashipu, his pride. He was so arrogant, unbelievable, that he's looking at Lord Narasimhadev face to face. And he knows he's Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But he's so proud that he thinks no one, even Vishnu, could defeat me. I've never lost a battle, and I won't lose this one. That is illusion. That is the power of Maya. Even Narasimhadev face to face, and you think you can kill him. Hiranyakashipu, with his club, he attacked Sri Narasimhadev. He ran into Narasimhadev's body just like an insignificant insect, like a moth flies into a raging fire. Lord Narasimhadev captured him effortlessly. Hiranyakashipu was struggling and straying and wiggling to get released from Narasimhadev's clutches, and then the Lord released him. And Hiranyakashipu was such a fool. He thought that the Lord has no power to hold me. He was thinking that this is the evidence, the proof that I will be victorious. He has no power over me. He took his sword and his shield, and like a hawk, he attacked the Lord again. And then he started flying in the sky by his mystic powers and attacking the Lord from all directions. And meanwhile, the Supreme Personality of Godhead was shrilling with laughter. And that laughter was piercing every corner of the entire universe. The Lord then captured Hiranyakashipu right out from the sky, just like a snake captures a mouse, or like Varuna captures a venomous snake. Hiranyakashipu was afflicted. Narasimhadev would not allow him to come out of his clutches. Hiranyakashipu was moving his limbs in all directions, here, there, and everywhere. Then our Lord placed Narasimhadev on his lap, supported by his thighs. He brought him to the doorway. With the nails of his paws, he easily tore Hiranyakashipu to pieces. Sri Narasimha Bhagavan ki jai. Then to show the whole dynasty of Rakshasas, Daitas, Asuras, and the whole world the power of his anger, he ripped out the intestines of Hiranyakashipu and placed them around his own neck as the garland of victory. And to make it more prominent, this amazing pastime, Narasimhadev uprooted Hiranyakashipu's heart just to make sure that the demigods were relieved of all fear that they would ever have to deal with this demon again. And then, like a piece of garbage, insignificant, Narasimhadev just threw Hiranyakashipu's corpse to the ground. His eyes were so frightful. He was impossible for anyone to look at. The Lord was sprinkled with blood. Then he turned to all the soldiers of Hiranyakashipu who were attacking him. And with the tips of his nails, he did away with all of them. His head shook the clouds. Lord Narasimhadev's eyes stole the illumination of the sun. His breathing agitated all the oceans and seas. His roaring caused the elephants to cry in fear. The pressure of his feet on the ground caused mountains to spring up from the earth. The Lord then sat on the throne of Hiranyakashipu. No one could come forward to approach him. The devas and their wives showered him with flowers. Various groups of demigods were offering prayers, expressing their gratitude of how Lord Narasimhadev saved them. The Prajapatis, they said, Hiranyakashipu, forbid us from procreating. The serpents said, he stole all our jewels. The Pitras said, he took all our oblations for the offerings. He stopped the Shraddha ceremony. Literally, he controlled the universe. And they all offered their prayers of glorification to Lord Narasimhadev. And what do you think the residents of Vaikuntha prayed to honor the Lord? That, yes, this is wonderful. He's liberated Jayan Vijay. They're one step closer to coming back home, back to Godhead. But none of them can approach the Lord. They offer their prayers from a distance. Even Lord Brahma could not approach the Lord. He was so angry. They approach Lakshmi. You are his consort. Please pacify the Lord. Lakshmi looked at him. She dared not walk another step forward. She has never seen her husband in this form or this mood before. And then Lord Brahma approached little Prahlad, who was still standing with folded hands. After just seeing the Lord ripped to pieces, his father, Hiranyakashipu, his eyes welling with tears of ecstatic love, Brahma induced Prahlad to approach the Lord. Prahlad walked right up to the Lord and offered his dandavat pranams. The love of Prahlad conquered Lord Narasimhadev. This is bhakti. Hiranyakashipu, with all of his powers, with all of his armies, was conquered by Narasimhadev. But little Prahlad, his humility and devotion conquered the Lord. Lord Narasimhadev placed his hand on Prahlad's head. At that moment, he relieved Prahlad forever of all the inflictions of the modes of material nature, invested with him the perfection of love of God, and also empowered Prahlad to offer prayers. With his purifying mind fixed on the Lord, Prahlad began, how is it possible that me, who was so fallen, who was from a family of demons, that I can approach you? I have no qualifications except your causeless mercy. I have seen what this world is about. People are so hungry after sense gratification and material opulence. My father had it all. And yet, he was utterly miserable. But Gajendra, in times of yore, he gave up all of his opulence and surrendered to you and found eternal shelter and real happiness. My Lord, even if a person has all the 12 qualities of a devotee, of a Brahmin, all the 12 qualities of good behavior in Brahminical culture, if he's not surrendered to you with devotion, he cannot achieve you. But even if a dog eater, a person of the most degraded social position, worships you with love, he is fit to be the spiritual master of the universe. The Lord accepts, not because he needs, but the Lord accepts our offerings for the devotee's benefit. And you do what is for the benefit of all living beings. Today you have killed my father, but we see everyone is rejoicing. Just like if a poisonous snake or scorpion is killed, everyone is very happy by this. My father tried to find so many remedies for his miseries, but he failed. The only remedy is your devotional service. People want duration of life, material opulence, and I've seen it all in my father and his people. They're ultimately all vanquished. But I am not afraid of anything, because I'm absorbed in always remembering you. My Lord, my only concern is for all the fools and rascals who have forgotten your loving service and who are trying to be happy separate from you. That is my only anxiety. Paradukaduki. Quality of a saintly person. It is a universal principle. For a saintly person, our unhappiness is to see the suffering of others. Prahlad Maharaj expressed, whether I'm in a pit of snakes, whether I'm in blazing fire, whether I'm in the bottom of the ocean, it's not a problem because I'm remembering you. But the one anxiety I have in my life is to see this whole civilization of fools and rascals who are trying to enjoy separate from you and suffering birth after birth after birth. Narasimhadev completely gave up his anger hearing the prayers of Prahlad. And he said to his devotee, it is my pastime to give benedictions to my devotees. Ask for any benediction you desire, and I will give you. Prahlad Maharaj considered this benediction a great obstacle. Amazing. He never considered Hiranyakashipu an obstacle. He never considered anything Hiranyakashipu did as an obstacle. But he considered the benediction that Narasimhadev is offering him. Ask anything that you want and I'll give you. He could have asked to go back to Godhead. He considered it an obstacle. And he spoke. He said, my Lord, I'm born in an atheistic family. Please do not tempt me like this. Do not tempt me. I'm not a merchant doing business with you where I surrender my life and I accept something in return. If we expect anything material in return, or even anything spiritual in return for the Lord, for our devotional service, we're not really devotees. were merchants doing business with the Lord. I'm giving you, I expect something in return. I'm paying the price. Please reciprocate. Prahlad could not tolerate doing business with the Lord. Ashlasyava padaratam panashtu mama darshana maramahatam kurotuva yathatatata vidatatu lampato mat pranatatastu se eva napara. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he illuminated this concept in such a perfect shloka in his Shikshastakam. If you like my Lord, you can embrace me. If that makes you happy, then you can embrace me. If it makes you happy, you can trample upon me. If it makes you happy, you can make me totally brokenhearted by not being present before you, by giving me no access to you. You have every right to deal with me in any way you please, because I am your servant unconditionally. That is love. That was the love of the gopis. That was the love of Prahlad Maharaj. That is what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to give the world, that love. The purest, unconditional state of love of the soul. Nadanam najanam nasundarim kavitam vajagadisha kamaye mama janamani janmanishvali bhavatat bhakti rohaiti kitvai. The Lord prayed, I do not want wealth or beautiful ladies. I do not want fame or followers or mystic powers. I do not even want liberation from suffering. I only want to serve you birth after birth after birth. This is the constitutional quality of the soul that's being revealed through Prahlad Maharaj. He feared asking for any benediction. It was repulsive to him. I am your eternal servant. But he said, my Lord, if you want to give me a benediction, then you can give me this, that in the core of my heart, there will be no traces of material desires. And all that exists in my heart is loving remembrance of you. Narasimhadev, so satisfied with Prahlad's love, he said, devotees like you already have no material desires. I now order you to enjoy the kingdom of your father and to rule over the race of the demons. And know that one who always remembers me is always protected by me. Then finally, Prahlad asks for one other benediction. He said, my Lord, because you are merciful, please grant me this benediction. Excuse my father for his sinful acts. Give him liberation. This is Vaishnav. Up until his last breath, Hiranyakashipu was blaspheming, screaming harsh obscenities, and in every way trying to murder Prahlad with relentless anger. And during his life and after his life, Prahlad simply loved his father as he loves every living being. Give him liberation. The quality of forgiveness is a prominent feature of a real Vaishnava. If you cannot forgive others, don't expect the Lord to forgive you. Haridas Thakur, when he was being beaten in 22 marketplaces by people who were trying to murder him, they were also dragging him by the hair, kicking him, beating him, caning him, whipping him, shouting horrible obscenities toward him and about him. And the whole while, Haridas Thakur was praying to the Supreme Lord, please forgive them. Please give them entrance into your abode. He wasn't saying kill them and send them to hell. He was saying give them love of God. That was his prayer. Please, my Lord, don't consider that it's an offense what they're doing to me. That would hurt me more than what they're doing to me. According to the Gaudiya Vaishnav literature, when Haridas Thakur was manifesting that quality, he was not different than Prahlad Maharaj. Prahlad manifested through Haridas. And Vasudev Dutt, he prayed to Lord Chaitanya, I have only one desire. I cannot tolerate seeing people suffer in this world due to their sins. Let everyone go back to Godhead. Liberate the entire universe. And let the sinful karma of everyone come on my head. I want to suffer perpetually hellish conditions so that everyone else can enjoy with you. And he meant it. Lord Chaitanya, hearing Vasudev Dutt's sincere plea, couldn't control his emotions. He was crying. His voice was choked up for some time. He could not even speak. And then finally, with a faltering voice, he said, Vasudev Dutt, what you're saying is no surprise because you are Prahlad Maharaj. But why should you have to suffer? We'll send everyone back to Godhead just because you desire it. There is an Udhambura tree in our courtyard. If one fruit of an Udhambura tree falls from the tree, what is the loss of the tree? Similarly, if the Lord empties out a whole universe, what is the loss to the Lord? There are so many universes. That is Prahlad's love. He begged nothing for himself, but he begged the highest benediction for the person who hated him and tried to destroy him. Narasimhadev said, your father is already purified. Not only your father, but anyone who surrenders to me with devotion, I promise I will liberate 21 generations of that person's family members, both in the past and in the future. That is the power of devotional service. Because in this world, there are so many obstacles and so many obstructions and so many temptations. It takes a lot for a person to give his or her heart to the Lord. And when one is willing to do that in this world, the Lord is so obliged to that devotee, personally, knowing that everyone has natural affection for their family members and relatives, that the Lord reciprocates and gives liberation to 21 generations of all relatives, past and future. Therefore, the greatest service we can do for our family members is love Krishna. Love Krishna. Narsingadev was so pleased by Prahlad, he glorified him. He said, my devotees are never jealous of anyone. That is the quality of a Vaishnava. Prahlad, for all time in the future, those who follow you are purified. And Narsingadev said, those who remember me and you will be taken back home, back to Godhead. Now, Prahlad, perform Shraddha for your father and accept the throne as the king. A few minutes before, Prahlad was being beaten, threatened, poisoned. He was the public enemy number one of the king. And now he's being asked to sit on the throne and be the king. Narasimhadev then turned to Lord Brahma and warned him. It is very dangerous to give these types of benedictions to demons like this. Don't give benedictions like this to such demons. See what havoc it has caused. And then the Lord disappeared. According to the Navadvip Mahatmya, on his way to Vaikuntha, Lord Narasimhadev was thinking, let me go to Navadvip. Because in the age of Kali, that is where I will appear as the most munificent and merciful of all avatars, the golden avatar. In the age of Kali, I will give the highest liberation, even to the most sinful people, through the chanting of the holy names of the Lord. Lord Narasimhadev knows past, present, future. He knows everything and everyone. And he understood in the age of Kali, Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha would come again to the earth as Jagai and Madhai. But at that time, Lord Narasimhadev would not have to tear their bodies apart and rip their hearts out and put their intestines, garlands over their bodies. Lord Narasimhadev is all merciful. Lord Chaitanya is supremely merciful. The opulence of mercy was manifested by the Lord to the highest degree as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Let us take the example of Jagajaya and Madhvijay. Hiranyaksha was killed by the Lord, liberated by the Lord, with his hoof and his tusk. Hiranyakashipu was killed by the Lord with his nails. Ravana and Kumbhakarna were killed by Lord Ramchandra with the arrows of his mighty bow. Shishupal was killed by the Sudarshan Chakra. Dantavakra also. Those same personalities came again with their full-fledged demoniac behavior. In fact, it is said that Jagai and Madhai had the qualities of all these six. Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakashipu, Ravana, Kumbhakarna, Shishupal, and Dantavakra. All in one. They were really demons. And they were really cruel. They were killing cows. They were drinking blood. They were killing people. They were raping Brahmins' wives. They were plundering. They were setting houses on fire. They were constantly with strong liquors. Hiranyakashipu was always drunk with very, very strong smelling liquors. Jagai and Madhai, full-fledged. But the Lord, so merciful, most merciful, he didn't kill them with his weapons. He killed their demoniac mentality with the supreme weapon of Harinam Sankirtan. He didn't tear out their hearts. He purified their hearts and made them spiritual abodes. He didn't tear out their entrails and put them as garlands on himself. Lord Chaitanya took off his garlands and put them on Jagai and Madhai. He didn't straggle them on his legs. Lord Chaitanya was embracing them with love and affection. He made them into acharyas. We don't see samadhis for Hiranyakashipu or Ravana. But devotees from all over the world visit the samadhi of Madhai because he became a perfect Vaishnava, a perfect saint, a perfect lover of God. Mahajano yena gata sapanta. We follow in the footsteps of Madhai after his conversion. But that's a very important clause. Because I know devotees could easily take that out of context. It's very convenient. Narasimhadev was just thinking, after killing Hiranyakashipu, in the age of Kali, I'm going to give Hiranyakashipu ecstatic love of God through chanting of the holy names. In my form of Lord Chaitanya. He wanted to go to that place of Navadvipa. So he through the airways, Narasimhadev came down into Sri Navadvipa Dham in the island of Godrumdvip. And there he washed his hands in the Mandakini River. And he sat down to rest and just meditate on his Leela of Gauranga in Navadvipa. That time, all the principal demigods came there. Vishwakarma made nice little hermitages for each of them. And as long as the Lord was there, they all stayed and worshipped him. As Lord Narasimhadev was meditating on the infinite causeless mercy of Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. It was their desire, Priti Viti Yachiyata Nagaradigram. In every town and village, let my holy name be chanted. The Srimad Bhagavatam declares, intelligent people, in this age of Kali, they will worship Lord Chaitanya with his associates who come with the weapon of the holy name by performing Nam Sankirtan. Vijayate Sri Krishna Nam Sankirtan. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, all glories to the chanting of the holy name. It is the prime benediction for all humanity. The greatest way to take shelter of the mercy of Lord Narasimhadev is to take mercy of his most merciful form, Lord Chaitanya. How? By inducing his causeless love loudly chanting the Holy Name. And that is why our brahmacharis invited Madhava Prabhu, Ranabandhu Prabhu, Shatidharma Prabhu, Harivamsa Prabhu, and their good wives to help us celebrate this Narasingha Chaturdasi in the most auspicious and effective way by performing Harinam Sankirtan. When we chant the holy names of the Lord enters into our heart through the holy name and rips apart the anartas of lust, envy, anger, greed, pride, and illusion by his own Swarup Shakti and awakens ecstatic love. The Lord then went back to his abode. Brahma and Shukracharya coronated Prahlad as the king. And what did Prahlad do in return? He worshipped all the devotees with humility and love. Srimad Bhagavatam gives a benediction at the end of this story. One who, with great attention, hears this narration of Prahlad Maharaj and Lord Narasimhadev, surely reaches the spiritual world. Our beloved Guru Maharaj, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, he had great faith in these words. Therefore, he made such a great effort to provide the Srimad Bhagavatam for the whole world, made it available in practically every major language of the world, established temples where people could come and not only hear, but see Srimad Bhagavatam in real life, associate with devotees, render service to the Lord, and develop a taste for chanting the holy name. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sri Narasimhadev Bhagavan ki jai, Ananti Koti Vaishnav Vrinda ki jai, Go Premanandi. From our heart of hearts,